connected deeply into Rosh Hashanah, into the Rosh Hashanah holiday that is shortly coming upon us. And so while last year we did a lot of the more famous prakim that have to do with Rosh Hashanah, for example, the chapters that we're going to read before blowing shofar, the chapter that we read Rosh Hashanah night, Yom Kippur night, we've done all those. So I searched a little bit and I wanted to find something that I thought would really help prepare us emotionally, mentally, spiritually for Rosh Hashanah. And I settled upon a chapter that I've really been pushing off for a long time because it's a very special chapter. And if you don't think that it's me saying it's a special chapter, recognize that the Ibn Ezra says about this chapter, Zeh HaMizmor Nichbad Me'od. This is a very precious, beloved mizmor in the ways of knowing Hashem. And so you and I are going to study it this morning, and I think it'll give us a lot of chizuk, a lot of food for thought, again, as we enter into the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. So we're doing chapter 139. I'm going to share my screen with you, as I do every Thursday morning, although I'm not sure you could see that. There you go. You should be able to see that now. I'm going to share my screen with you, and hopefully you'll see very shortly why it is that this is considered such a beloved chapter. Now, the chapter is a little bit longer than some of the other ones we've been learning. It is a 24 psukim, but it's broken up into three sections. Section number one is psukim 1 through 6, which is essentially about recognizing Hashem's knowledge, which includes everything. Right, and we're going to talk about the notion that Hashem knows and is aware of everything. The second six psukim, which are psukim 7 through 12, is recognizing Hashem's imminence, just how close it is that we feel to Hashem. And the last six psukim of that first section is recognizing the wonders of the creation of mankind. And so we have, you can't see the screen, there's some addresses up. Can you see my screen now? No, still not. Let's try this again. Okay, let's try sharing screen. How's that? Can you see my screen right now? Yes, okay. So again, of those first 18 psukim, it's broken up into three sections, all of which essentially have to do with recognizing Hashem and acknowledging His omniscience. Again, the first six psukim are about Hashem's knowledge of everything. The next six psukim are about Hashem's imminence. And the six psukim after that are about the wonders of creation of mankind. And we'll see, obviously, how those are all interconnected. After that, there's section 2 of this chapter, which is a little bit different, but obviously interconnected, and that is the curse of the evildoers. Psukim 19 through 24 is the author of this chapter of Tehillim lamenting those who do evil. In other words, once you come to such a clear awareness of Hashem's role in your life, once you come to such a clear awareness of Hashem all around you, so you become frustrated by those who aren't along for the ride. You become frustrated with those who aren't on the bandwagon, as we say, and also recognizing Hashem. So those are the two central parts. One is recognizing Hashem, His imminence, His omniscience, and the other is a frustration at Hashem's enemies who are not able to see that as well. As you will see also in this chapter of Tehillim, the chapter discusses, certainly at the beginning, ideas that are very fundamental and very foundational to Judaism as a whole. And those are ideas of the conflict of free will on the one hand with Hashem's knowing everything on the other hand. If we assume that God knows everything, then how is it that I have free will? That is the question that the author, the narrator of this Perek HaTehillim is struggling with. How do these two coexist that on the one hand you and I have free will, something that is so basic and so foundational to Judaism? If you look at the Rambam in his Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam in his Hilchos Tshuva writes about free will because it is such a foundational aspect of our existence here on this earth. We are not robotic. God gave us free will. Now, because we have free will, it also gives us the capacity to be punished and to be rewarded. All of Rosh Hashanah, all of Yom Kippur, all of Tshuva is based on this principle of free will. And on the other hand, we also believe that God has a plan and that while we can have our little stake in it, we ultimately believe that God is aware of everything, that Hashem knows about it before it even happens. We're going to reference words where Hashem knows the words that are coming out of my mouth before they even come out of my mouth. So how do we reconcile those two? How do we reconcile that on the one hand, Hashem knows everything, with on the other hand, this notion that I supposedly have free will? So that is, I'd say, at the core, what this chapter of Tehillim is struggling about in what this chapter of Tehillim is talking about. Many of the Mefarshim refer to this in terms of Adam HaRishon. That Adam HaRishon talking about that this is the most basic component of the human condition. Right? It relates to the theoretical question of how could God have created a fallible human being and also given that same human being the ability, the free will, to do as he pleases. So that's kind of the backdrop to the chapter of Tehillim that you and I are going to study today. Again, really core, central ideas of theology, of how we relate to Hashem. I think basic ideas when we talk about coming into Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, certainly when we talk about free will, when we talk about our relationship with Hashem, when we talk about this notion of reward and punishment, again, that's why I chose this. I think it's such a beautiful Perek Tehillim. And again, that's why the Ibn Ezra starts off, Zeh ha-mizmor nechbad me'od b'darchei Hashem. This is a precious mizmor in the ways of knowing Hashem. There is no mizmor as precious as this one. And hopefully by the time I finish with you, you will feel certainly the same way about this Perek Tehillim. Okay, let's jump right in. Lam natzeach leDavid mizmor, Adonai chakartani vateda. Hashem, you have examined me, and you know everything about me. Right? Picture yourself when you're reading this chapter of Tehillim, going through a spiritual x-ray machine. And while you and I, at various points in our life, and again, I think this is somewhat of a backdrop to this chapter, but at various times in our life, you and I are not always so truthful. We're not always so truthful with ourselves, and we're not always truthful with people around us. That because of this notion of inhibitions, in this notion of a facade that you and I put up, so we're oftentimes guarded, right? But we have to recognize that when it comes to our relationship with Hashem, there is no guarding. Because you and I could put up the facade, we could talk the talk, we could smooth talk our way out of a lot of things in life, with the one exception. And that is our relationship with Hashem. And so you might as well be honest with Him. Because Adonai chakartani vateda, Hashem, you have examined me, you know me, I can't hide anything from you. All right, you know exactly, I have such a good story, but I can't tell it. Right? You know everything about me. It's as if we're going through a spiritual x-ray machine. Says the Malbim, wrote Salomar, Ataya data. Es ha'adam b'shnei mine yedios. You know us in two different ways. Asher lefi hasagas ha'adam yishtir b'neihem. That in our mind, there is a contradiction between the two. What are they? Mitzad ha'yediyah ha'kaduma she'yodiyah. Es kol ha'atid b'yediyah kodemes. That on the one hand, we believe that Hashem knows everything, that everything is somewhat predetermined, that we say it's min hashamayim, it must be from Hashem that this happened. On the other hand, what do we believe? She'im kol zeh, ha'adam chafshi b'masav. That on the other hand, we believe that we are completely free, and we can make decisions on our own. So that is Adonai chakartani vateda. That, says the Malbim, is what we are struggling with here, that duality, that dichotomy, that contradiction between our knowledge of free will and our knowledge of Hashem taking care of us. Ataya data shivti v'kumi banta lereim erachok. Hashem, you know everything about me. What else do you know? Merachok, says the Radak. Kolomar kodem shiachshov. Even something so distant, right? I haven't even said what I'm going to say yet, and Hashem knows what I'm going to say 2 minutes before it. Right, Ataya Data, Shivti, Vikumi, you know when I stand up, and you're gonna know when I sit down, and you're gonna know even the thoughts that I have, long before Lerei, the Mitsuda Sion explains, is talking about Machshava. It's my thoughts, it's what's in my heart. In other words, you guys don't really know what's in my heart right now. You guys know the words that are coming out of my mouth, but you don't know what's going on in my head. You don't know what I'm thinking as I'm looking at all of you on the screen. You don't know what's in my heart. But Hashem knows my heart. And Hashem knows what's even in my heart before it comes into my heart. Right? That's the challenge, the theological challenge here. Archi verivi zeirisa v'chol drachai iskanta. You watch me do everything, Hashem. There's nothing hidden from me. When I walk, you're watching me. When I'm lying down, you're watching me. V'chol drachai iskanta, says the Radak. What does that mean? He says, v'hu mahalchi bayom. Orchi is when I walk during the day. In other words, obvious things. I'm walking, anyone can see me. Rivi, says the Radak, is when I'm lying down at night. In other words, it's dark. And so maybe I'll assume no one can see me. No, no, no. Who can see you? Hashem can see you. What's v'chol drachai hiskanta? That all of my ways you are hiskanta. Says the Radak, Yadati kol drachei ha'adam hamurga b'davar sheyodeyoso. Right? You know everything about a person. Right? Because what we're going to talk about is that Hashem, you created us. And if you created us, you're very well aware that you created me with my challenges. You created me with my with certain things that I'm stronger at, and my strengths and my weaknesses. You know everything about me, Hashem. There's nothing that is hidden from you. Ki ein mila bilashoni, hein Adonai yadata kula. Even the words in my mouth, says the Radak, od hamila inenu adayin bilashoni, before it even comes into my mouth. What I'm about to say, I'm going to pause right now. Hashem knew what I'm about to say. Right, that says the Radak, is ki ein mila bilashoni, hein Adonai yadata kula. Hashem, you know it all before I even say it. Achor vakedem tsartani, you're all around me. Vatasha salai kapecha, you place your hand on me. The Malbim has a beautiful imagery over here. He says, "Velo levad sheyesh lecha yediyah b'prate amasi." It's not just that you know my actions, Hashem, but rather you encircle, you encompass every single part of me. Kiyesh lecha memshala al kol tenuasei v'rayah pilazai. You have dominion over every single aspect of me. Until I feel completely embraced on all sides by you. Umitzayer koach Hashem, when we're describing the strength of Hashem right now in Pasuk 5, kemachane kveda hamakefet es ha'ir, we're talking about almost like envisioning a siege over a city, where no matter where you go, you see soldiers and you can't escape it, right? That is what we feel with Hashem. Hashem is all around us. Hashem is all embracing us. We men, at least, do this every single morning. One of the philosophical reasons for why when we take our talis and we wrap our talis around us is because we're supposed to feel that all-encompassing embrace from Hashem. That, says the Malbim, is what we're talking about here in Pasuk 5. That Hashem created us in a way that he is all around us, that he is encircling us, that there's no aspect of my life or my existence that is absent of Hashem. He is part of me everywhere I go. I go to the left, he's there. I go to the right, he's there. I go to the front, he's there. I go to the back. He's everywhere, as Uncle Moshe so poignantly saying to us many years ago. Right? Up, up, down, down, left, right, and all around. That is Hashem. Achor v'kedem tzartan. He says, Malbim, again, picture this army surrounding a city. That is Hashem surrounding us. Now, there's an imagery that, while none of the Mephorshim stated explicitly, was so profound in my mind, or so obvious to me. And I want to see if it's obvious to you as well. So let's read one more pasuk. Plia das mimeni, niskava lo uchala. Plia, from the word like pela. In other words, it's amazing to me. It's a wonderment to me. I simply cannot fathom it. What can we not fathom? What is so unbelievable? Says the Radak, Zohadas haplia mimene miniskeva lo chala sigla. In other words, I can't wrap my head around it. I will never be able to understand how, on the one hand, I have free will, and on the other hand, Hashem knows what's going to happen. No matter how hard I try to explain it to you, and I can try to explain it to you, but no matter how hard I try to explain it to you, I'm simply going to fall short. The question's always going to be better than the answer. Plia das mimeni, and as it's a pella to me, Hashem. Niskavalo chala, I can't even fathom how this all is. So that was Pasuk 1 through 6, the first section of our first section. We'll call it 1A. And if you had to summarize it, it's about how Hashem's knowledge includes everything. It's about how everything I do, everything I say, everything I think, everything I feel, Hashem knows it all. Hashem is aware of it all. Now, obviously, this is very poignant, is very timely when we talk about Rosh Hashanah, because all of Rosh Hashanah is predicated on this notion of Hashem knowing everything, right? We talk about Zichronos, you know everything, Hashem. Kol Talumo Slave, you know everything that's in our heart, you know everything that we say. All of Zichronos, the notion of judgment, is predicated on the fact that Hashem remembers everything, that Hashem knows everything, that there's nothing hidden from Hashem. So that's Psukim 1 through 6. We'll call it 1A. Now we come to 1B, which is 7 through 12. And you and I categorize that as Hashem's immanence. In other words, because you, Hashem, are all-encompassing, and because you know everything, I simply cannot escape you, Hashem. No matter how hard I try, I can never run away from you. Ana eilech meruchacha, va'ana mipanecha evrach. Right? Because you're all around me, Hashem, I can never run away from you, says the Malbim. Gam ha'isi, gam im ha'isi yachol livroach min ha'matzor. Again, picture this siege around us. You and I are all besieged by God. And says the Malbim, even if you and I wanted to escape the siege, ana mipanecha evrach, where are you going? Leize makom evrach, says the Malbim. Where are you running away from? Shesham lo ayet tachas reshuscha. Because let's say I run down the block, God's not going to be there. And let's say I run to Tahiti, God's not going to be there. Right? Who does this sound strikingly similar to? And again, I didn't see any Mefarshim describe it explicitly, but to me it's so jarring, it's so obvious. Yonah. Right? This is the story of Yonah. Yonah tries to run away from Hashem. Yonah tries to run away from this siege of God where God calls upon us and he has expectations of us and he has demands of us. And Yonah says, thanks, but no thanks. I'm not really so interested. And Hashem says, you think you can run away? Not so fast, because I'm going to follow you there. Right? Ana ilecha miruchacha. Where are you going? Ve'ana mipanecha vrach. Where do you think you're running away to? Hashem's all around us. Hashem is, again, not in a bad way, not in a stifling way, but in an imminent way. That no matter where I am, and no matter how far I feel, right, God is always with me. Imesak shamayim shamata. If I run up to the heavens, well, you're going to be there. Ve'atzia sheol hineka. And if I go to sheol, sheol is not just a pit, but it's like the deepest depths of the pit. You're going to be there also. Esa kanfei shachar. If I get on my big wings and I start flying, ashkena ba'achris yam. Again, if I go onto the sea, no matter where I go, gam sham yadcha tancheni, your hand is going to be guiding me there, v'tochazeni yiminecha, and your hand is going to be holding me there. Right? Again, not in a punitive way that Hashem is always with us, but in a beautiful way that I'm never alone. I'm never without you, Hashem. That no matter where I go, and no matter how far I fall, and no matter how far I either overtly or subconsciously try to run away from you, right? You're going to be there. Kisham yadcha tancheni. Even there, even in such a distant place, Hashem, you are there to hold on to me. V'tochazeni yiminecha, and you're going to hold on to my hand there as well. To me, it's such beautiful imagery about God's imminence, again, not as a punishment, not in a way that's supposed to stifle us, but in a way that's supposed to make us feel so loved, in a way that's supposed to make us feel so cared for. Gam sham yadcha tancheni. What greater message is there on Erev Rosh Hashanah, where we recognize that over the year, again, subconsciously, consciously, everyone on their own level, but we have run away from God a little bit. We've done things which have distanced that relationship. We've tried to run away. We've tried to go to the heavens and to the down and to the left and to the right and try to get away from God. But you know what we remind ourselves on Rosh Hashanah when Hashem says, like, I'm still here. You thought you could run away from me? I'm still here. You thought you could out? I'm still here. Okay, kam sham. Even there, yadcha tancheni, even there, your hand is going to guide me, v'tochazeni yiminecha, and I'm going to be holding on to you, Hashem says. V'omar, and if I say, achoshech yishufeni, v'layla or be'adeni, and if I say, says David HaMelech, that, you know what, maybe at the nighttime, God doesn't really see what's going on. Right, the Radak says, "Lo yachshik davar mimcha shelo tiru ki akol shava lenegdecha." You could see everything, and maybe you'll argue that in the nighttime, when vision isn't so great, and maybe I'm hiding then, maybe you don't see me then. No, says David HaMelech. The Omar achoshech yishufeni, right? Velaila or be'adeni, and maybe I'll say that the nighttime will cover me, will protect me, will shield me from you. No, not so fast. Pasuk 12. Gam choshech lo yachshich mimecha. Even the nighttime is not going to conceal me from you. V'layla kayom ya'ir. For you, Hashem, there's no difference. Hashem walks around all the time with night vision goggles. And so even at the night, it's Kayom Ya'ir. It's as bright as noontime. Kechashecha Ka'ora. Right? Darkness and light are the exact same when it comes to Hashem. So that's section number two. Section number one is again Psukim 1 through 8. Section number, we'll call it 1b, was 7 through 12. And it really is nothing short of a magnificent description of God's imminence. A magnificent description of that no matter how hard we try, we're never running away from Hashem. We're never too distanced from Hashem. We're always close to Him. And even when we think He's not watching, right? Maybe at the nighttime, maybe late at night when the lights are off, no one's watching what's going on. No, gam choshech lo yachshik mimecha. Even at the nighttime, it's not concealed for you. Now we come to 1C, which is 13 through 18, where we simply reflect upon how amazing this is. Right? Like you and I might take for granted the first 12 psukim. But David HaMelech says, don't take for granted psukim 1 through 12. Because what you and I just described is nothing short of extraordinary. Okay? We, as a creation, our ability to relate to Hashem is nothing short of amazing. Says the Pasuk 13, Ki ata kanisa kil yosai tisukeinu vetanimi. You created me, Hashem. In other words, what does that mean, you created me? The Mephoshim explained, nothing is hidden from you. Right? You created all this, Hashem. Odecha, therefore, what do? I praise you, Hashem. Al ki noraos niflesi niflaim, niflaim maasecha v'nafshi yodas mod. Right? I praise you, Hashem, because of just how amazing I am. Because just how amazing all of your creations are. Lo nichechad atzmi mimeka asher usesi b'seiser rukamti b'tachtios aretz. In other words, nothing was hidden from you. The Mephoroshim explain, lo nichad means lo ne'elam. Right? Nothing is concealed from you. Galmi ra'u einecha. Galmi means that even in my unformed state, it was even when before I was even born, ra'u einecha, you saw me. Ve'al sifrecha kulam yukasevu. Think about these words. Ve'al sifrecha, in your books, I was recorded. Yamim yutzaru. Ve'lo echad bahem. Right? What does that mean? What does that mean? So the Mephoroshim explain that this is this notion of divine foreknowledge. Right? Even before I was born, Hashem, all of what I was going to do is written in the book. Now, again, that comes back to our theological question. How could it all be written in a book if you and I have free will? And if you and I have free will, how could it all be written in a book? That's the theological circle that you and I are going to play this entire chapter. But says David HaMelech, Kulam Yikasevu, right? Ve'al Sifrecha, the books, Hashem, Kulam Yikasevu. It was all written. It was all sealed and delivered. What was going to happen? Says the Mitzudas David, Kol HaMikrim, all of what was going to happen, Kulam Yaduam Lecha, it's all known to you. Ki'ilu k'suvim l'fanecha b'sefer, as if it is written in a book. That is how we relate to this notion of divine foreknowledge. Now, obviously, that's challenging because we also speak about free will. And we're about to go into a holiday where we're going to talk about change and our ability to change and how nothing is set in stone. Right? That's the challenge of this chapter. Pasuk 17, V'li ma'yakru re'echa el ma'atzmu roshehem esperam mechol yirbun hakitzosi ve'odi imach. Which the Mephoroshim explained is a nice way of saying, right? I'll read you the Radak, which I think is the most succinct. Kishe'avol l'saperosam. When I go to talk about how amazing this is, and how amazing you are, and how amazing your world is, lo'uchal kimechol yirbun. I'm not going to be able to because it's more than the sand. In the same way I can't count the sand, I can never count all the miracles that you and I created in this world. Now, how do we relate to this notion? Before we go on to section two, that was 1A, 1B, and 1C. Right? 1A was Hashem's knowledge includes everything. 1B was Hashem's imminence, how close Hashem is, that we can never run away from Him. He's always there, waiting to hold our hand. 1C was just how astonishingly amazing all this is, how we have to praise Hashem, and how beautiful all this is, and magnificent all this is. So how do we relate to this? The best analogy I can give you is Flat Stanley. Okay, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Flat Stanley. I don't know if your children or your grandchildren ever sent you Flat Stanley. I know it's a big part of the curriculum at Hillel Day School. But Flat Stanley is a guy who gets flattened. And instead of lamenting his lot in life, Stanley now gets to be put in the mail and gets sent around the world. So it's cute for the kids because they get to take Flat Stanley and they get to put it in an envelope and they get to send it to friends, relatives, grandparents, whatever. And then the person who they send it to has to take a picture and you see how Stanley travels around the world. I actually have a funny story about that. One of my children, who happens to be a rabid Red Sox fan, so he sent Stanley to my mom, Flat Stanley to my mom. So my mom gets Flat Stanley. She asks my son, she says, where would you like Stanley to go? So my son says, wouldn't it be great if you took a picture with Flat Stanley outside Fenway Park? So my mom happens to work right near there. She says, sure, on the way home from work one day, she takes Flat Stanley. She goes outside Fenway Park, and you need something like this. I guess my mom wasn't so adept at selfies, so she like needed someone to take a picture of her with Flat Stanley outside Fenway Park. So she asks a nice man passing by. She says, do you mind taking a picture of me just with this, you know, Stanley so that I can send it to my son? So the guy says, oh, that's so creative. You came here? She says, yeah, my son's a big Red Sox fan. He lives in Florida. He says, come with me. Anyways, he's like the communications head of the Boston Red Sox. He takes my mom into Fenway Park, takes her into like the VIP seating to like the greatest view ever, takes a picture of her with Flat Stanley there, and let's just say the other grandparents were not as successful in getting to cool places like Flat Stanley was in Boston. But that's right. So what am I talking about Flat Stanley? If I explain to Flat Stanley what it means to live in a, I guess Flat Stanley is one-dimensional, right? So if I explain to Flat Stanley how to live in a two-dimensional world, or if I explain to you in a two-dimensional world how to live in a four-dimensional world, whatever, I'm off my dimensions, I know, right? So, right? You would not be able to fathom it, right? We wouldn't be able to fathom another dimension, okay? I'll give you another example. This is a little bit easier where I don't get my dimensions messed up. But let's say you went to two children that were in the womb. And let's say we can converse with those children in the womb. And we told the children in the womb that soon you're going to come out this canal, right? We have our OBGYN on the call, right? You're going to come out, you're going to be born into this world. And in this world, even though you think that things are so great in the womb, because you're being fed and you're being nourished and you have everything you ever wanted, right? You're going to come into this other world, which is going to be even more amazing and more spectacular. And you're going to be able to hear and you're going to be able to smell and you're going to be able to feel and you're going to be able to talk and you're going to be able to experience, right? What would that infant, what would that baby in the womb say? He'd laugh right in your face. He would say, what are you talking about? Another world, another existence? He said, all I know is the existence that I am right now. I'm in the cozy confines of my mother's womb. I have everything I want. How much better does it get than this? And so you'll go to the baby and you'll say, no, you don't understand. It's so much better than this. You're going to be able to eat steaks and have salmon and I don't know, whatever it is, pick your poison. There's going to be something called chocolate and candy, right? The world's amazing. And the baby's going to say, but like, I can't even fathom what that looks like. What does it mean? You mean I eat out of my mouth and I'm going to be able to talk and I'm going to be able to think, right? A baby in the womb would never be able to understand that at all. So when we talk about Hashem and the notion of Hashem's foreknowledge, and the notion of our free will, the reason why it's so hard for us to reconcile is because we're talking about existence in worlds that you and I simply can't fathom. In the same way a baby cannot fathom what our world is like, you and I have no comprehension, despite the fact that we think we can comprehend. We have no comprehension into how Hashem runs the world, what it means to be Hashem, what it means to be before the world created, after the world created. These are ideas we talk about, but we don't really understand them. By the way, this factors directly into our awareness of the afterlife, right? One of the reasons why you and I struggle with Olam Haba so much is because the same way the baby is limited by their awareness in the mother's womb and can't fathom this world, and yet we tell them that this world is so much better than the womb. So here you have Chazal who are saying, oh, but there's another world, which is even better than this world. And you and I say, really, does it get better than this? Right, we have cars and houses and we get to talk and we get to eat. There's a world that's better. We can't even comprehend it because it's talking about a different realm. Okay, so obviously while David HaMelech is struggling with this, the premise of it is built on the notion that we'll never be able to understand it. That there are parts of God, that there are parts of how Hashem runs the world that are simply beyond our comprehension. And that's not a bad thing. That's part of the praise that we give to Hashem. I don't know about you, but if mankind created the world, I'd be pretty scared. Because mankind is imperfect. And mankind has ego. And mankind has allowed those egos to create world wars and destroy people and to massacre people. I'm comforted by the fact that there is a God, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creator of every single one of us, operates in a realm that's bigger than me, in that his calculations far exceed anything that I can understand. There's something very comforting about that. There's something very freeing about that. Because once I start with that premise, so I recognize that there are things that are beyond my limited capacity of understanding. That is all a nice way of saying that's section one. Section two is verses 19 through 24, where essentially we come to Hashem and we say, get rid of those who don't get it. Right? Im tiktol eloa rasha v'anshe damim surim imeni. Right? If they're wicked people, get them away from me. Asher yomru limezima nasa lashav arecha. They're telling falsehoods. They're tricking people. Halom insanecha nayasna v'skomemecha eskotat. Right? Those who hate you, Hashem, I will hate. Right? We have to hate hatred. It's okay to hate hatred in Judaism. Those who are wicked and evil, we're allowed to hate them. Tachlis sina sanesim la'oivim hayuli. If they're enemies of you, Hashem, then they're now enemies of me. We curse the evildoers. And then lastly, it's a plea from Hashem, Psukim 23 to 24, where we come back to that notion that we started off with in the very first pasuk. Chakreni el, Hashem, examine me. Put me through that spiritual x-ray machine. Vida levavi, and know what is in my heart. Bechaneni vida sarapai. Right, again, probe me and know all of my thoughts. And if you sense something that is incorrect, if you see that I'm on a wrong trajectory, ure'e im derech otzebi, that if I'm going to do the wrong way, unecheni b'derech olam, then please right the ship. Says the Radak, im tire bi shum derech, Mary. If you see that I'm going down the wrong path, if you see that I'm rebellious, if you see that there's something wrong about me, hamiteni miyad, then please, Hashem, correct it immediately. That is what ultimately we ask for Hashem. So now you understand, hopefully, a little bit. We started off with a comment by the Ibn Ezra of Zeh HaMizmor Nichbad Me'od, that this is a beautiful, this is a very precious chapter of Tehillim. And I think, hopefully, we understand now why. Because it talks about some of the core foundational elements of our belief in Hashem, of what it means to have emuna in Hashem, and what it means to have a relationship with Hashem. It starts off with the premise that Hashem knows everything, that there's nothing hidden from Him. And if I have one plea as you go into Rosh Hashanah, it's to be honest with Hashem. We're so quick to lie to ourselves and we put up blockades and barriers because we don't want to face the truth sometimes. But recognize that when you step 3 feet into that Rosh Hashanah Shmona Esrei, Hashem knows it all anyways. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're feeling. He knows it all anyways. So allow yourself and open yourself up to that real, authentic, genuine conversation with Hashem, because He knows everything anyways. We spoke about Hashem's imminence, that even when we might feel that we have distanced ourselves from Hashem, that notion that no matter how far we travel, we are never too far away from Hashem. And if we go to the heavens, Hashem is there. And if we fall really low down, Hashem is there. And if we go to the left, we go to the right, we cannot escape Hashem. Again, picture the imagery of the Malbim, of the army besieging the city. Well, you and I are besieged by Hashem. We are surrounded by Hashem on all sides, not in a bad way, but in the most beautiful way. We have that protective abode that covers us at all times and in all places. Part C of that first section was mesmerized by the wonders of creation, that Hashem was able to create some entities as spectacular as us with this dichotomy of divine foreknowledge, but also with this notion of free will. That's all amazing, right? The notion of free will is amazing. We should never take it for granted, right? So that's all section one. And then lastly, this notion of we will hate those who hate you, right? If they're evildoers, if there are those who are trying to distance the world from your name, so we have an obligation to hate them. I know it's hard to understand, but we have an obligation to correct your world, to perfect your imperfect world. And we ask Hashem in the very end, Hashem, again, I'm not shying away from you looking at me. Chakrenina, v'dalavavi, Hashem, put me through that x-ray machine again. And when you do it, if you sense something is off, please correct it. Because the only thing I want in this world is to be connected to you. The only thing I want in this world is to do the right thing. Right, after all, you and I are here for a very short period of time. Let's not waste it. Let's not wake up in 20, 30 years and say that I made some bad decisions. And so we come to Hashem and we say, if you sense that there are certain things that are off, please fix it. Please give me the siyata d'shmaya, the wisdom to be able to fix it. So I thought it was a very powerful parak tehillim. It's one that I've said, everyone's got their prakim. This is one of my prakim. It speaks to me personally, and I think it very much relates to a lot of the themes that you and I are going to read about, think about, and be speaking about on Rosh Hashanah. So with that, I want to wish everyone a ksiv v'chasim atova, a good gben shdior, that all the trials and tribulations and struggles of Tav Shin Pei of the last year should be behind us, and that as we enter into Rosh Hashanah truly with a clean slate, so we should be zocha, we should all be meritorious of a year of blessing, of good health, of happiness, of joy, of connectivity, of community. In Amir Tashem, we should be back together studying, and we should continue to do so for many years in good health.